Hey, Pastor Stephen here. Welcome to the Abundant Springs Podcast. If you haven't already, be sure to check us out online at abundantsprings.church. And now, on to this week's message.
It's kind of an interesting thing. Every now and then I find myself as I'm sitting down on the couch, especially if I'm alone, just beginning to think and ponder. And especially as I was writing this message, I began to wonder to myself, you know, what are the times that I've heard God speaking, that I've heard the Holy Spirit impressing on my heart, you know, go and do this, speak to this person, share me with that person. And what I do is I tend to think of how many times have I not heard the voice of God? How many times has he been speaking to me, but I've been so busy, I've been on my way and trying to get places so quickly that I haven't heard? You know, I can think back and think of times where I was walking along the street and I saw someone there and I felt like, you need to go talk to that person. And then I looked at my watch and I went, I'm 5 minutes late already. I can't. And I just kept on walking. You know, I've thought of other times where it was just awkward. Like, well, God, how do I even start a conversation with this person? Like, I don't want to do this. And so, no, I'm not going to. I got somewhere to be. And on I went. And I wonder to myself, who were these people? What did God have in store had I had these conversations with these people? It's interesting how oftentimes we'll feel ourselves led to a certain person, or maybe we don't feel led, but we just know in our heart that we need to share what Jesus has done for us. But we worry about it. The interesting thing is for those who believe in Jesus, who follow him, we believe that the good news of Jesus is something impactful, that it has changed us for the better, that it has changed our lives, that it has an eternal significance in our hearts and in our lives. This idea that God created us to be in a relationship with him. That we tried to supersede him, people that were made in his image, trying to become like God himself instead of like what we were made to be. We rebelled against God. And from that time on, the relationship between us has been split. But the amazing thing is God is creator. He didn't look at us as if we would look at one of our creations that is broken and go, you know what, it's going to be too much work. I'm going to start over again. I'm just going to get rid of all of these. But what he did is he pursued humanity throughout history. In fact, when he created us, he knew that we would reject him. And so from day one, he had a plan in motion, waiting for the perfect time for his son, Jesus, to come to the world. I know it's a confusing concept that God is three persons, three in one God. And it's something that we're not going to talk about too much in this message. But I want to highlight to you, this isn't God the Father being like, hey, kid, you know what? You're my least favorite son. You go over there and die for me. That's not what it was at all. This is God coming to earth, to be born and to live as us, the only sinless person ever to live on the face of the planet. And yet this sinless person died a criminal's death for us. You might say, well, what's the point of that? I'm not going to explain in detail all this theological things that happened at that point in time. But what I want you to know is that there was a gulf that could not be spanned between us and God. And with Jesus' death, he stands in that gap and he says, come to God through me. All you have to do is believe. I've paid the price. I've taken the weight on my shoulders. I just want you to come to me. And we can get plugged back into that life-giving source. So many people, they walk around wondering why they have to fill themselves up with this thing and that thing and trying to find what's the purpose in life, what's the meaning in life. And as people who follow Jesus, let me tell you, we found that purpose. We found that meaning. The meaning is to be in relationship with him, to walk with God. And so we receive this good news. And then what's the main couple of things that we're supposed to do with it? God says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with everything. And love your neighbor as yourself. And then he says, and go and share this message with the world. Three things, three simple things when you really think about it. But there are so many things that keep us from doing this. If you're here and maybe you're not following Jesus at this time, and maybe it's because of something that in the past, someone who said that they followed Jesus did something to you, and you're like, I just don't know I can believe if this is the way that these people are, and I want to apologize to you today if you've had that experience. But let me tell you that as Christians, we're supposed to be characterized by love. And if one of us has failed to come to you and share the love of Christ with you, I am so sorry. You know, those of us here, we can be so afraid of sharing the good news of Jesus. We're afraid of what people will think. We're afraid of being laughed at. We're afraid of engaging in some kind of argument that someone's going to take it to us and rip us a new one. We're indifferent. We've become so tied up in life that we look at others and we just go, you know what? They can live their own lives. It's all about me. Maybe it's that sharing Jesus with someone, letting someone into your life and showing love to them is inconvenient. Or maybe we actually have a distaste for the people in front of us. Maybe we look at them and we just wrinkle our noses and say, they're not worth my time. And so in the process, we end up failing in one or more of these three areas. First of all, we fail to share the good news of Jesus. But secondly, that failure to share it oftentimes comes from one or two of the other things. Maybe we're so wrapped up in ourselves or in life that we fail to love God with every fiber of our being. Or maybe it's that when we look at someone, we just go, I really don't have love for that person. And don't get me wrong, I know that this stuff is difficult, and I'm not trying to lay a guilt trip on any of us. Like I say, I've been there, and the great thing is that good news of Jesus that we are supposed to be sharing with the world is the very reason why when we fail, we're able to get back up again. Because God has forgiven you of every failure that you are ever going to have and every failure that you ever have had. So you don't need to allow yourself to get stuck in a rut and say, I'm not good enough. Because God says, I've forgiven you and I love you. See, I think that most people who follow Jesus do truly want to share Jesus with others. And I think that we just wonder how. How do I do this? What do I do? Maybe we say, I'm afraid. And so we try to downplay this idea of sharing the gospel. You know what? It's for the evangelists. You know what? It's for Pastor Stephen. He's going to go out and he's going to be the one that shares Jesus with everyone, and I don't need to. But what if I told you that talking about Jesus doesn't have to be all that difficult? What if I told you it doesn't have to be all that difficult? I told you last week that it should come from the core of who we are, that Jesus has changed us so completely. He has impacted our lives so greatly that things should just come naturally from us. It should be the most natural thing in the world to share Jesus, and yet we come to this place, and maybe it's because we're Canadian and we don't want to offend anybody. And so we say, how do I speak about Jesus to someone without them rolling their eyes and never wanting to speak to me again, or without them yelling at me for being some kind of crazy person who needs to keep their religion to themselves? And so we've been walking through the book of Acts together. She started last year around this time and then took a break, and we've come back to it in the last week. And what we found is that Jesus, he died and he rose again, and he sent his Holy Spirit. He said, when the Holy Spirit comes, he will fill you with power and you will be my witnesses to Jerusalem and to Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. And we saw how the disciples and those who followed Jesus began to take this Holy Spirit who had filled them and the power and the courage and the gifts that he had given them and take them from the upper room to the uttermost. And what we've said is that Spirit-filled believers are Spirit-led and Spirit-empowered to advance. You might wonder, to advance what? Let me tell you, to advance the good news of Jesus into the world. Because people need to know Jesus. If you will, turn in your Bibles with me to Acts chapter 8. If you have your mobile device with you, you can also just go to ascc.life, tap the message notes card, and that will tell you what you need to do to access the notes for this message. You can take notes on your device, follow along in the Bible with us. If you don't want to do either of those two things, it'll also be on the screen behind me as I read this. I'm going to be reading from verse 26. This is what we read. As for Philip, an angel of the Lord said to him, "Go down the desert road that runs from Jerusalem to Gaza." So he started out and he met the treasurer of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under the Candake, the queen of Ethiopia. The eunuch had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and he was now returning. Seated in his carriage, he was reading aloud from the book of the prophet Isaiah. The Holy Spirit said to Philip, "Go over and walk along beside the carriage." Philip ran over and heard the man reading from the prophet Isaiah. And Philip asked, "Do you understand what you are reading?" The man replied, "How can I unless someone instructs me?" And he urged Philip to come into the carriage and sit with him. The passage of scripture he had been reading was this: "He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb is silent before the shearers, he did not open his mouth. He was humiliated and received no justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth." The eunuch asked Philip, "Tell me, was the prophet talking about himself or someone else?" So beginning with the same scripture, Philip told him the good news about Jesus. As they rode along, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, there's some water. Why can't I be baptized?" He ordered the carriage to stop, and they went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away. The eunuch never saw him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Meanwhile, Philip found himself further north at the town of Azotus. He preached the good news there and in every town along the way until he came to Caesarea. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you so much that in your word, in the Bible, that you share with us these examples of people who have listened to you, who have been impacted by you, and that we can learn from these stories, from these examples, God. Lord, today I ask that you will ready our hearts to hear what you have to speak to us, Lord, and that we will think with open hearts and minds, but also with critical hearts and minds, that we will take these things back to your word, back to the Bible for ourselves, that we won't take anything that I'm saying just on my word, but that we will investigate it ourselves, Lord God. And Lord, I ask that you'll take these feeble human words that I'm about to speak and make them something worthwhile through the power of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. It's interesting here, this story. And on the surface, we may look at the story and we're like, well, this is a nice story. You know, what does this mean? Here Philip comes to an Ethiopian eunuch and he says a few things. He listens to the Holy Spirit. And next thing you know, the eunuch is baptized. Well, that's great. Nice story. We're done. But what I find when I look at this passage is that it holds five simple principles for sharing the good news of Jesus. You might say, I didn't see any principles there. They're there. See, the first of these five principles is that we need to practice obedience to the Holy Spirit's leading. You need to practice obedience to the Holy Spirit's leading. Sometimes it comes as just a whisper, a nudge. Sometimes it's just a sense that this is the right thing to do or that I should do. And then every once in a while, there's something much more specific that may happen. And it tends to blow our socks off when it does. But what you also find is that when you are obedient, you're going to run into situations where you say, this doesn't make sense. Why is God telling me to do this? It couldn't be God because God only wants happy things to happen. And God's only going to let me do things that, you know, in my own strength and ability, I can do myself and have no troubles whatsoever with, right?
Yeah, right.
No, you see, when you're called by the Holy Spirit, it's not always going to make sense. Look at Philip. Philip, we talked about last week, was in Samaria, and he'd been preaching the good news and performing these miracles, and people were coming to Jesus. In fact, even the local sorcerer went, "What you've got is better than what I've got." Things are going well. And then God says, "Hey, so Philip, I know that things are going really well in Samaria. But what I want you to do is I want you to go down the road to Gaza." No, not the main road. No. Go down the desert road that nobody travels. That's the road I want you to go down. Okay, so I've got this ministry. I think I can do better here, God, than going down the empty desert road. No, go down the desert road. And so Philip obeys and he goes down the desert road. And as he's going along, I can just imagine how amazed he must have been when suddenly he sees a carriage. And there is not just some person, but actually someone from Ethiopia, not the current land of Ethiopia, but a place called Cush. And this person, he represents the end of the earth, just like Jesus had said. And the Holy Spirit tells Philip, go up and walk alongside this carriage. Now, something you have to understand, here is Philip. He's a Jewish Christian peasant walking along the desert road. And this other man, he is a dark-skinned Ethiopian eunuch of high standing in the court of the Queen of Ethiopia, riding in a carriage. And I'm sure that as Philip is going along, he's like, God, I don't know what you have in store right now, but this is weird. Like, what am I supposed to do to this? Like, how am I supposed to do anything here, God? But then he hears, as he comes up to the car, he hears what this guy is saying, and things go from there, because God can use anyone to reach anyone. But you still might be looking at it, and you might say, well, obedience to the Holy Spirit is great, Pastor, except for one thing. You know, I'm not the most courageous person in the world. When I think of sharing the good news, when I think of the things that the Holy Spirit wants me to do, I'm afraid. And Pastor, I've prayed for boldness and God just doesn't give it to me. But there's your problem. Boldness does come from the Spirit, but it often comes through radical obedience to his leading. See, too often we say, God, I know that you want me doing this thing, so give me the boldness and I will do it. And God is saying, no, you know what you need to do. Go out and have the faith to do it, and I will build boldness within you. See, we think that God is going to line up all the ducks so that we just come along and go, whew. But that's not what it is. He sets us on the course, on the trajectory, but he says, you're going to learn on the way. I want you to take a step of faith into what I have for you. And then I'll build you up, and then you'll see what I have in store. And so we see that we need to practice obedience to the Holy Spirit's leading. And the second principle for sharing the good news about Jesus is start where they're at. Okay, sharing the good news about Jesus isn't going around randomly knocking on doors going, I have a tract for you. Do you know the 5 spiritual laws? Because more often than not, they're going to say, I don't care. Go away. We need to start where people are at. Look at what Philip did. Philip's alongside the carriage, and he hears the eunuch reading from a passage in Isaiah. And he doesn't say, excuse me, sir, would you like this tract I have? Not to pick on tracts, but I am today. No, he says, do you understand what you are reading? Do you understand what you are reading? And the eunuch says, no, I don't. How can I unless someone tells me? And so Philip gets up into the carriage and begins to speak to this eunuch. But what I want you to understand here is that he doesn't come up to the eunuch and say, well, it's great that you've got this question over here, but we're going to talk about this instead. No, he starts where the eunuch had the question and then guides him along through the Bible until he gets to where he needs to be. And so I want you to consider today, what does your neighbor or your family or your friends or your spouse or whomever, what do they need? What is that deep-seated need that is within them? What are the questions that they're asking? What are they worried about? What interests do they have? Start there. I guess you could say that when you start where they're at, you acknowledge that they're human and that you're human too. And you just say, just like a normal conversation, let's start in a place and let's see where this goes. And so it doesn't have to be complicated. It doesn't have to be something where you brutally bash in to someone's life to tell them all about Jesus. Just start where they're at. Third thing is keep it biblical. It can be really tempting to just share vague, happy principles with people and never actually get to the meat of things, to never actually introduce people to this book that God had written for you and for me. And Paul says that all scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching and rebuking, correcting and training in righteousness. He says these are powerful words. They're impactful words. They're useful words. So use them. And don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that you need to go out and memorize chapter and verse everything in the Bible. In fact, that's not the most useful thing that you can do. What is more important is to have a universal understanding of the Bible. Let me share with you why. Let's say that you're speaking with your neighbor and your neighbor is talking about the difficulties that him and his wife are having. And you come to realize that there is some difficulty like one of the messages we had about a month ago. And you see this place and you say, okay, well, I really understand. It seems like you're having trouble because you don't feel respected by your wife at all. And I understand that's difficult. Can I make a suggestion? Do you mind if I talk to you about this? And yeah, go ahead. Well, what I think that would really help is if you just began to go out of your way to show ridiculous amounts of love to your wife. Say it and show it every day. And I know it doesn't make a lot of sense that if you feel not respected that you should show this love. But you see, the Bible says that God made us in such a way that men and women, that men need that respect and women need that love. And so maybe, just maybe, if you give her what she needs, she'll be able to give you what you need. You see, you didn't go in there and start pulling out verses and being like, you know, Acts chapter 5, verse 3 says such and such a thing. You just say, the Bible tells us this. Just know the principles. But here's one of the principles here of sharing your faith that is probably the most wonderful thing. And that is that you need to remember that it's not all up to you. It's not all up to you. What do I mean? What I mean is that it's not about how eloquent you are. Okay, your speaking ability, your knowledge of the Bible, yes, God will work through those things. But at the end of the day, if somebody walks away and they say, you know what, Jesus isn't really for me right now, or I don't really believe what you have to say, don't worry about it. Because it doesn't reflect on you. You obeyed. What it reflects on is that they have not reached the point yet where they have become receptive to what the Holy Spirit is whispering in their heart. It's up to the Holy Spirit. The other thing you need to recognize is it can take 25 people to bring someone to faith. For them to realize that, no, Jesus is working in this world and he's working in my life and he loves me. And so maybe you're the first and you're just getting things started, or maybe you're the last and you get to actually pray with them and say, let me help you get plugged into a church and to learn more about Jesus. Or maybe you're somewhere in the middle. But it's not all up to you. The failure or success of this moment is not in your hands. Now, that also means that you need to be humble. You can't go around saying, I've led 150 people to the Lord. Haha. No. You've been used by God to do the work that he had set out for you ahead of time.
that his Holy Spirit had gone ahead of you in to do. And so just like when you fail, it's not reflecting on you. I shouldn't even say fail, but you know what I mean. When you succeed, it's not up to you. Wonderful freedom in that. Here's the fifth thing. Keep Jesus central. In all that you do, bring it back to Jesus. Philip didn't start on a passage of scripture and then start wandering all over the place and bring it back to how to live a happy life. He brought it to Jesus. In all that you share, it needs to come back to Jesus, because Jesus is the one who died for you. Jesus is the one who forgives you. He's the one who belief in brings life. I think that too often we use the Bible, but we use it as just a wisdom book, a how to live your life better book. But listen, if all you're doing is using the Bible and presenting it as a helpful book full of wisdom, which it is, but if that's all that you're doing with it, you're missing your greatest opportunity. Friends, listen, you're not sharing the good news of the Bible. You're sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. The Bible is important, but too many people have gone around treating the Bible as if it is God, not just the words of God. Don't get me wrong. I'm not discounting the Bible here, but what I am saying is the Bible does not save you. Jesus does. The Bible does not forgive you. Jesus does. The Bible does not repair your relationship with the Father. Jesus does. And so everything needs to come back to Jesus. And so when you're speaking with a neighbor about their marriage and you've been telling them about this love and about this respect, then you can go in and you can say, because you know what? God told us that because he cares about relationships. And he cares about that relationship with you and your wife, but did you know that he wants a relationship with you too? In fact, he wants a relationship so bad. He loves you so much that when the only way to bridge the gap between you guys so that you could fix your relationship was to come to earth and die, he did it for you because Jesus loves you. See, Spirit-filled people, Spirit-filled believers are Spirit-led and Spirit-empowered to advance the good news of Jesus Christ into this world. And so the question remains, can we do this? Can we implement these five principles? Can we go and obey the Spirit's leading? Can we keep our eyes open to the Spirit? Can we start where people are at? Can we keep our witness biblical? Can we allow ourselves to take the pressure off and recognize that it's not all up to us? That we don't have to get some decision for Jesus every single time we talk to someone. That it's enough just to say, Jesus loves you. Because he does. Can we keep Jesus central in our witness? See, the Holy Spirit is with everyone who follows Jesus, and Spirit-filled believers are Spirit-led and Spirit-empowered to advance into the world with this message of love and hope. And so when you go home today, be thinking and wondering, like, are your neighbors just sitting there, not even knowing it, but is their soul crying out and just saying, will you share that with me? Are there people on the street who God has pointed you to and said, that person, I want you to share with them? And is their soul right now saying, I'm waiting for you to talk to me? I don't know. But I think that there are great things in store when we follow the leading of Jesus. And so if you're ready to advance, if you're ready to take that good news of Jesus from the upper room to the uttermost, then here's what I want you to do this week. Just one thing, really simple. Pay attention and answer the Spirit's call. Don't let it go to voicemail. Don't say, why are you phoning people text? Realistically, he's already sent you a text. Pastor pun. Pick up the phone. When he tells you what to do, say yes. Will you join me today in praying? Lord God, I right now just ask that you will forgive us, as I know that you do, of all the times that we have ignored you, of all the times that we've made excuses and said, I'm not good enough, or I'm not eloquent enough, or I don't have the time, or I don't really care, or whatever it may be, God. Forgive us of those times where we've said, well, that's for somebody else to do. That's not my gifting. And God, help us to recognize that you work through people in the craziest ways, and that even our blunders can be used for you, for your glory. Give us a passion for your name, Lord God, and for this hope that we have because of your Son, Jesus Christ. And let us not keep that to ourselves, but let us be so passionate about that hope, about that peace and love, that relationship that we have with you, that we can't contain it. And instead, we go forth and we say, do you know Jesus? Why don't you in this place right now just begin to pray and ask, God, what do you want from me? How do you want me to begin to share the good news?
Maybe you're listening and you've been seeking Jesus for a while, trying to make sense of who he is and what he's all about. I want you to know that God, in his infinite love, has been pursuing you. God wants to have a life-giving relationship with you, but the fact is that every person is born with a rebellious heart and is separated from the life that only comes from a true relationship with their Creator. So, God did something magnificent. He knew that we could not repair the broken relationship ourselves, so he came to us. And we're told that while we were still sinners in active rebellion against God, Jesus Christ died for us. In John 3:16, Jesus said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life." So, if you're ready to have that newfound life through a relationship with Jesus, I'd like to invite you to pray a prayer with me, confessing with your mouth that Jesus is Master and believing in your heart that God raised him from the dead. As you dedicate your life to following Christ Jesus, you will receive forgiveness for your sins and you will be adopted into the family of God. Let's pray. God, I know that I'm a sinner. I know that I deserve the consequences of my sin. However, I'm trusting in your Son, Jesus Christ, as my Savior. I believe that his death and resurrection provided for my forgiveness. I trust in Jesus and Jesus alone as my Master and my Savior. Thank you, Lord, for saving me and forgiving me. Help me to leave my old ways behind and to live as you would have me live from this time forward. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you just prayed that prayer from your heart, I want to welcome you into the family of God. Your next step is to connect with a local church so that you can be shown how to grow in this new relationship. I'd love to help you with that, so if you made that decision today, please send me an email to pastor@abundantsprings.church. That's P-A-S-T-O-R at abundantsprings.church, and I'll be sure to follow up with you. Thanks for listening, and I hope you'll join us again next week for more Bible-based encouragement.